we can truly be the church. And so for those of you that are at home, go ahead and get your phone in your hand. Go ahead and get your phone in your hand, get a seed in your hand, and you could do or give the following ways. The first way is online by going to our website, www.divinetruthcc.org. When you go to that website, you'll be able to sow a seed of any amount. It will be welcome. Remember, we do not want churches to close because of lack of support. We want the churches to continue to stay open until the storm blows over. If the government has to be able to give in order for the economy not to collapse, then the people of God, those of you that are at home that love God and love this ministry and understand what we have been doing over the last almost 10 years, and you also will sow according to the Lord's unction upon your heart. So the first way is online, and then, of course, the very last way, because we cannot be in person, if you will. You can also mail it as well. Our address is 350 Anchor Road, Suite 1050, in the beautiful city of Castleberry, Florida, 32707. Mail is also good as well. If you don't trust those computers and things like that, you can always mail it. You can even drop it by and just put it in the mailbox and just keep it moving. And then the last way is our Cash App way. And now this is going to be something that is creative. While this graphic stays on the screen as I'm speaking, what you could do right now is you can actually take your phone and open up Cash App, put in the amount that you want to sow into this particular ministry, and actually click on the actual icon that's in the upper left-hand corner, and it will actually take you to our cash tag. Just in case $DivineTruthCC is a little bit confusing, all you have to do is just hold it up there right for a moment. And so as people prepare their hearts and minds in order to give, let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless your holy and mighty name. We thank you, Lord God, for even allowing for us to be able to be in your presence, Heavenly Father, because there are churches that are closing down all over the place. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us the ability to be able to still stay connected with our people and with those that don't have a church home and haven't been to church in a while. Lord God, I thank you that you have allowed for us to be able to come into their homes, whether it be live or even at another date, watching this on replay. We bless you, Lord God, and we thank you. Bless these gifts right now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So go ahead and get a seed in your hand. I'm just going to give you a couple of moments in order to do that, a few moments, while the musicians play in the background and while the screen actually shows the cash tag and the ways to give. Put the ways to give up there, the blue one up there instead, and then move from that point. If you did not get a chance to do the barcode, all you have to do is just go to the very last icon, which says Cash App, and you click in $ Divine Truth CC, or go to our website. Either way, we'll be able to help this ministry survive and thrive until this pandemic comes to a close. Be blessed, people of God. We'll be right back.
Amen. 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 Boy, I tell you, I saw something on Facebook that was so funny, even as we move forward, I saw somebody put a nice little graphic up there that says, basically it was a meme that showed Chris Farley running from out of the background that basically was saying, you know what, when we get back together, we gonna holler and have a Holy Ghost time, boy. I saw so many people just ready to get back to the house of the Lord, and I believe there is an upcoming wave of glory that's gonna hit the people of God. And I truly believe that the way that we govern ourselves with wisdom right now, the way that we show love to the disenfranchised, those that are isolated, those that are feeling alone, depressed, and anxious, I wondered if they could even go outside, that we bring some level of peace and tranquility to their lives. Amen? Amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And it goes as follows. It said, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. And I love this part, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, there it is, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, repeating verse 5. You also, as living stones, the people of God, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm so excited. And the topic for today, the subject matter for this morning, is a house is not a home unless Jesus is there. A house is not a home unless Jesus is there. Somebody turn to your neighbor. No, don't turn to your neighbor. Just look at the screen and say, a house is not a home unless, yeah, Jesus is there to hold you tight and woo, 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 woo. A house is not a home unless Jesus is there. I'm so glad to be able to be with you this morning, to put a smile on your face in this very unique time, a unique time. But I truly believe that the remnant, the people of God, were built for this. We were built for this. You see, we're living at a time, even right now, and I was just talking with some of the brothers just last week. We were talking about how in the world Ryan won that fantasy football championship. I still don't know how that happened. We were talking with Rick Reed about doing an album, talking with Al and the rest of the clergy about the plans that we had for this year. And that was just a couple of weeks ago, right? Just a few weeks ago. And then, whoop, there it is. God allowed for this thing to come and transform the entire globe. I felt this in my spirit for some time. Those closest to me in the spiritual realm knew that there was something big, but we just didn't know what it was. It's kind of like one of those things where God will oftentimes send people, his children, a hint that daddy is getting ready to do something, but you just don't know when. We know it. We felt it. We felt that there was something big. There was lethargy. There was lukewarm Christians that were out there. There were sinners that were just running reckless, abandoned, so much so until many of the Christians started to appease them and wanted to be more like them in order to be approved by them. But now God said, enough is enough. Everyone take a Sabbath. Everyone stay home as this plague begins to take place. But I also believe that this is also a time where we could come together as the church in our homes
these homes where millions of people have to stay in place or are affected by reduced travel orders. In certain situations and circumstances like these, things that many of us have never experienced before in our life, it is important for you, while you're at home, to keep the doors of your heart, mind, and soul open for the Lord to enter in. Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is where the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, where it actually dwells. Where the light of the gospel, it also shines there, and where grace actually rests. Your temple, this thing right here. So while you're at home, I'm going to teach you this morning how to transform your house into a tabernacle. To tabernacle with the Lord, meaning to truly turn your home into a place that God will visit. Because even like it is when it comes to the four walls of the church, sometimes we can have Ichabod written over here and at home where God is not even present. We even see it today. I was praying with several pastors in the city on yesterday evening how we are in a unique situation because there are many children and many of those that are vulnerable that are now going to be locked down with their abuser or molester. They can't go anywhere. They can't go over to a relative's house. These are some unique times. And so even at this moment, I pray that God will have mercy and not allow for the children and the vulnerable and the most innocent among us to have to go through situations where daddy or even mama are opening up the door at an unholy time of night. To tabernacle, to be at peace, to come together as the church through prayer, praise, and the word of God. So let me encourage you. As Bishop Paul Morton would say, let me encourage you. Let me speak life to you. You can depend on God to see you through. You can depend on God to see you through. Let me encourage you. Let us tabernacle. Let us come together. Let us be as the church. We don't need to be bedside Baptists. Matter of fact, stand up, get out of bed. And let us fellowship one to another. So today I want to show you basically three houses among many where Jesus entered in and made it a home with the individuals that were there. When he entered in, he actually made their lives better. When he entered into their homes, there was an encounter that transformed them forever. The very first house is going to be Zacchaeus' house, you know, Zach's house. I had a friend named Zach back when I was growing up, and back then we used to race down the streets, and we used to have fun and playing in the fields, St. Pius in Jacksonville, Florida. But the Zach that I'm talking about, or Zacchaeus, was a rich man. He was a wealthy man. He was a man that was a tax collector, somebody that was an undesirable, much like even today. Please let not it be a phenomenon to think that people are just so loving to people who have wealth. There's a lot of envy that's there. There's a lot of hateration and haterade that people drink in the morning when it comes to people who are going forth in the things of God. People may even be looking at you kind of strange because how is it that you get a chance to work from home, and how is it that your boss still allows for you to come in while I get fired? Zacchaeus, a rich man, a short man. He had a short man complex. Luke 19, verse 1 through 10 says the following. It says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. See, it's not just like the Seminole County Tax Collector's Office where you basically sit in the office and you manage finances of millions and millions of dollars for several residents, 422,000 plus to be exact.
No, a chief tax collector did the same thing. They also worked with the census, but the way that they collected those taxes was some dark ages type thing. They went from house to house, and if you didn't give up those taxes, and if you did not pay Caesar at that moment in time, they would almost, in so many instances, turn you upside down and shake you until that money started falling out of your pocket. Sometimes they would assault your family. Sometimes they would even take family members as collateral. And he was a leader in that regard. He was what we would call a shrewd businessman. He was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was. Even the rich, even the wealthy want to know who this man is. Why in the world all these church folk want to come to the house of the Lord around Easter? Well, do they still believe in that fairy tale? Those stories that are in the Bible? You know, you Christians, you guys are some weird type of people. You're all across the spectrum, black, white, Asian, Hawaiian, rich or poor, you like Jesus. And this particular man was rich. And verse 3 says, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd. He was of short stature. He couldn't quite see because there were people. I could see him. See, there's this man named Jesus who could transform things. And this is kind of weird because how in the world would this man be even interested in such a thing? You figure that he would have it all. That money would suffice. There's a lot of people who have money right now that are working from home and watching online right now that are disturbed in their soul. So money does not always bring peace and comfort. Verse 4 says, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, being Jesus, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must, watch this, stay at your house. A house is not a home unless the two of us, Jesus, is there. So Zacchaeus, being excited that this dignitary, this renowned man named Jesus, is now going to come to his house. I can imagine him going to the house ahead of Jesus and making sure that his servants that were there, because as a wealthy man, you're just not going to clean up things by yourself, that his servants, make sure that you take that broom and make sure that you dust the dirt floor. We have to put things in historical, grammatical context now. This was not some ivory tower. We have marble floors. No, 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 no. It was first century. Cleaning up the house, getting things together. My wife and I were listening to the old classic song that many of our parents would listen to, especially when it came to judgmental folk, which is by the Williams Brothers. Said, sweep around your own front door before you look in mine. And that's what Zacchaeus was doing. He was sweeping around his own front door because he knew this man, Jesus, was different. And that if he had the audacity, the unmitigated gall to come to his house, then maybe, just maybe, I want to try to tighten up a little bit. I do believe that Jesus has come to many of our houses even today. He's knocking, but many of us are not answering. And so God is like, okay, you are going to get a visit from Jesus at this very hour. So Zacchaeus, getting everything together, as verse 6 says, repeating, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, notice the they there. I'm always careful about when people around me say, well, this person or that person or they did this. I was like, who is they? Who is the they right here in this particular picture? Well, these are the people that are complaining, saying that he has gone to be with a guest, with a man who is, watch this, a sinner. Where do you have any business going over there to XYZ's house? Why are you going around the corner to talk to them and all of the dope boys, or the prostitutes, the downtrodden? Why would you talk to somebody like that? You don't want to be seen with such riffraff, the mixed multitude, those that are those that have a reputation out in the streets of not being friendly. What are you doing, Pastor Martin, as a black man talking with those rich Republicans? What are you doing, Pastor Martin, talking to the LGBT community? What are you doing talking to these individuals that we do not approve of? But Jesus still wanted to go to the house. If I could just touch one heart, if I could just turn one man, if there is one person who the scripture says has a very difficult time coming to me like a camel going through the eye of a needle, then for sure I will have my arms open and wait for them to come home. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore it fourfold." You talk about a stimulus check. Jesus said to him, "Today, watch this, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." In other words, this man had a covenant relationship that he didn't even know about. And God honored that. Yes, he was a sinner, but Jesus decided to look upon him and come to him. He always wanted to know about Jesus, but never approached him. There's many people who are curious about the things of God. There's many people who are curious about the things of Jesus, even if it's scorn, even if it's ridicule, even if it's mocking. They still want to know about this man, Jesus. I also want you to notice this other piece, too. You see, he was always a sinner. He was always a tax collector. He always did dirty deeds in public and even in private quarters. But yet, when Jesus came to his house, there was a transition. There was a shift. He received him with joy. And then, watch this, he repented. And he said, "Everything that I took from someone out of false accusation," because sometimes when they wanted to pump up those taxes, they would just create an audit and find a reason to take more, even though it was not legitimate. Caesar sometimes would do that. If he saw that his bank accounts were getting kind of low, he would send these people out in order to shake more out of them in order to heap wealth to themselves, sometimes unnecessarily. And if you're a chief, if you're a leader, then you have to do some unscrupulous things. But he felt repentant. Jesus didn't even bring up, watch this, he didn't even bring up anything that he did. Isn't that a wonder? He didn't bring up anything that he did. He didn't bring up the way that he strong-armed people and sent out Roman soldiers in order to collect things. He didn't bring up situations or circumstances or how he would have to take cattle and take people's livelihood on a regular basis, all to satisfy Caesar. He said not a mumbling word. The only thing that Jesus said when he saw his form of repentance, a man of stature, a man that had issues and situations of circumstances, is, "I give salvation to you. You are now saved. Today salvation has come to this house because he is also a son of Abraham." And I love the last part of verse 10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Are many of you out here that are watching as you cruise through different churches, you're driving by, you're clicking from ministry to ministry and ministry to ministry, I hope that you pause just for a moment and notice that while there may be many ministries that are streaming live, and there are many great voices that are out there that are singing and preaching and teaching, not every voice is the voice of the Lord. Make sure that you choose wisely and eat wisely this morning. Because if you eat at too many houses, you could very well get food poisoning. Listen and hear the word of the Lord. Listen and attentively tune your ears to the gospel, which is who Jesus is and what he came to do. And as you can see right here in the scripture, Jesus came to this man's house because he was lost. He was actually looking for him because he is the great shepherd of our souls. You see, people of God, Zacchaeus was successful, but he knew he had, no pun intended, shortcomings. You saw what I did there. He had shortcomings and insecurities. He probably had a heavy burden
probably seen many denarii, which was the currency of that time, inside of his household or in the bags of the Roman soldiers, because he would have to have some type of brawn, some type of enforcers behind him, because he wasn't just going to walk up and be like, give me that money. No, he was going to have somebody that was going to have his back. But I'm pretty sure that he probably felt guilty about all of the things that he did. And I want you to see this next dynamic. Because God still visited him and saved him and helped turn his life around. You see, when you are a sinner and you come in contact with a child of God that actually walks the walk and talks the talk, you'll either do one or two things. You'll either want to get away from them as fast as possible, because that light is too bright and it's like roaches that are scattering out of the person's heart and mind and soul, or that person will be drawn to that individual. Sometimes cussing, fussing, drinking, and fighting, but there's something about that individual. It's something about the joy that's inside of that person's heart that draws me to them. Either you'll feel condemned to push away from the table, leave this premises, leave this house, I don't want Jesus here, or you'll say, Jesus, come on in. I got a bottle of Hennessy on the table with a Bible in my hand. I feel a knocking on my door. I feel a knocking on my soul. Come on in. House number two is by a man of stature named Jairus. Jairus House. I would like to call this place the House of Miracles. Zacchaeus' house was the House of Grace. In this house of miracles, Jairus was a man of stature. He was what you would call an elder or a ruler, somebody that was over a synagogue. You could basically, if you want to put it in modern day vernacular, a mega preacher that had world renown, that had a name in the streets. It meant something. He had followers. He had wealth. He had a place to stay. And he had a family. Mark chapter 5, verses 20 through 2. Through 24 says the following, and it says, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Repeating, hopefully you'll see the scriptures back there again. Mark chapter 5, verse 22 says, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. What is this man that is so upstanding in the community doing at the feet of Jesus? I told you again that when you are successful, it's hard to come to God. However, when it does happen, you know that something special is going on. I pray for our leaders. I pray for the billionaires that everybody snares at. I pray that everybody who feels some kind of way about specific leadership, whether it's the job inside of your house or even in the White House, that you understand and you pray for people, because it is something significant when a man of stature comes to Jesus. He fell at his feet because he had a desperate need and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. My money can't fix it. My preaching can't fix it. My teaching can't fix it. My servants can't fix it. The healers can't fix it. Jesus, I heard that you healed the sick and raised the dead. Please help my little daughter. She lies at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. They were all around him because they wanted to see what Jesus was getting ready to do. Oh, we gonna really have church today. But Jesus does something strange right here. You see, in the verses following, between verses 25 through 34, which we will not get in today, you will read that Jesus makes a detour, a significant detour. This detour was one that was impactful, and it's one of the most well-known stories
in all of the Bible because he came in contact with the women of that had the issue of blood. Jairus had a need. His daughter was on her deathbed. He came to Jesus first. He knew what he was all about. He wasn't trying to be all high-minded and highfalutin. He wasn't trying to be prideful. He wanted to come directly towards Jesus. And he began to move towards him. Jesus says, I will come. But then this woman, as he begins to go towards Jairus' house, touches the hem of his garment. Jesus goes on and says, I feel power, dunamis power coming from out of me. Who touched me? And this woman, Jesus, begins to look around and begins to say, well, I hope that you won't scorn me. I hope that you won't push me away. I've been having this issue of blood for 12 years. I've gone to physician after physician, physician after physician. I have a need. It's desperate. I've been bleeding for so long. Can't have children. It's something that is incurable. I just wanted to touch the hem of your garment in hopes that I'll be made whole. Jairus, however, is still waiting in the wings. His daughter, who Jesus knew about, life was beginning to slip away minute after minute while Jesus was attending to something else. There are many people right now that have been praying and asking God, God, where are you? Why are you taking so long? God, I can hear a preacher this morning asking, God, they said that it was only going to be 1 week, a few days, but now I haven't had anyone in my building for almost a month. Why are you taking so long, God? Grandmama's inside of the hospital with COVID-19. She's been a praying woman. Daddy's been a praying man. But now their life is slipping away. I don't know if you're going to make it here on time. Why are you taking so long? At this very hour, we need to understand that while Jesus may oftentimes make a detour, that doesn't mean he's not on his way. He will still come and meet you at the proper time. And if he doesn't, he's still able. If he does not cure, then a better cure in the great by and by lies ahead. The woman of issue of blood was a significant detour. She was struggling for 12 years. The irony of all this is that Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. So this woman has been struggling all her life. You missed it. This woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years was struggling with her affliction all of the little girl's life. 12, if you did not know, is the number of order. Jesus oftentimes does things two times to signify divinity. Order! Order in the court. The great judge of all creation is now here and presiding over these two situations. One is an immediate situation where there's been a struggle for 12 years. And one is another immediate situation where the person is now 12 years old and is in desperate need. I hear the Lord saying that there's enough Jesus to go around. There's enough Jesus to go around. Mark chapter 5, verse 35 through 42 says the following. It says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Oh, here we go. I was praying ahead of time, Jesus. I was praying ahead of time that you would not lay me off with this great swath of people. I was praying. I saw it. I listened to what the preacher said. I sowed. I gave. I served. But I was still laid off. My finances are dead. My relationship is dead. There are some people that are going to come closer during this crisis, but there are some people that's going to start drifting apart. The finances was the glue to your household.
and now it's being tested. My daughter is dead. The service basically said, why even bother the rabbi? Trouble the teacher any further. As soon as Jesus, watch this, heard the word that was spoken, he sprung into action. He said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Ah, here we go. I said last week that this crisis is going to expose Christians, saints, and sinners all alike. One for a lack of faith and the other for a lack of wisdom. Do you believe God? There's been tests and trials, situations and circumstances. I was looking in the face of preachers even on last evening. Some of them were faith, some of them were uncertain. Even in a transparent moment myself, I was uncertain about what lies ahead. There's no way that you could prepare for something that you've never done before. There's no way that there is a training manual on how to deal with a global pandemic that is invisible in nature but manifest after you have been afflicted. What type of seminary class prepares you for such a thing? What type of training class in the halls of academia prepares you for such a thing? You may have heard about the bubonic plague. You may have heard about the Spanish flu, Ebola, SARS, and the like. The Zika virus, but I've never gone through it. There are few people on this planet who are even alive when it happened in 1918. Yet here we are. Do not be afraid. That's my word for you today. Only believe. Verse 37 says, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. The brother of James. I wonder why Jesus basically said, clear the room. I'm getting ready to do my best work here. Clear the room. Your servants that were here, they know exactly what was going on. They basically said, she's too far gone. They ain't going to get no job. They work at a restaurant. The salon, that's how they make ends meet. The landlord is not forgiving anybody's rent this month. You know how it goes. Well, they paid, so what's wrong with you? I'm so sorry. I understand that this is an extenuated circumstance, but you know, I have a business. You know how that vernacular goes. You might as well just take your Jesus and go on home. But Jesus came to the place where trouble was. Do not be afraid, Castleberry. Seminole County, Orange County, Central Florida, Florida, Southeast, the world. Do not be afraid, only believe. But you got to make sure, like Peter, James, and John, that you got the right folk around you. You see, I have some great folk that are with me this morning. I have members that are at home because they were directed to do so, but I needed a tiger team. I needed a couple of folk that I could rely on to help me carry and bear this weight. They could have been pulled over. There could have been a stop. There could have been a cough at a red light. But I believe God. I believe God. That he sees us obey the rules of the rulers of this particular world and the laws and ordinances. This is what faith and works looks like. You do what you're supposed to. You don't need to have a sanctuary full of people in order to have or be the church. But there's something powerful about coming together. And oh, when that day comes, I believe that we're going to have a Peter, James, and John anointing to where when the Lord comes into the house, we're going to be able to see some miracles, signs, and wonders. I believe miracles, signs, and wonders. I believe that God will do great things in this season. Verse 38 says, then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and a confusion. And there was people beside the hospital bed and they were all upset. Those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? Don't you know that the king is here? The king is here. The king is here. the papa, but that the king is here. The king is here in the midst of you. Why is there so much commotion? Why is there so much weeping? The child is not dead, but sleepy. It may be dead to you. Your finances may be dead to you, but not to God. Your relationship may be dead to you. I don't even want to be home with Mr. I don't even want to be home with Mrs. But God can resurrect that thing. The king is here. The king is here. It may look like it's dead, but to him who has all power in his hands, it only looks like sleep. And they ridiculed him. It has a big H. That means that they didn't ridicule Jairus. Jairus is just there with a handful of tears, with a limp daughter in his hand. But Jesus was being ridiculed. But when he had put them all outside, Lord have mercy. Matter of fact, when he had put them all inside their houses, because not everybody that was coming to church was believing. You wonder, where are the miracles of our forefathers? Where are all the signs and their wonders? There was a whole bunch of unbelieving folk that were inside of the church. Sometimes the ones that are the most anxious and the most loud are the ones that have the littlest faith. But God is cleaning house. Will the true believers stand? Will those that really honor the Lord stand up? My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow, or a strange stream they will not follow. My sheep know my voice. Your situation is not dead. To God, it's only sleeping. In other words, he's waiting for the proper time to wake that thing up. I've been unemployed before. I've had relationship problems before. Gone through trials and tests, afflictions in my body, been betrayed, been drained, but yet here I stand. Not because of my own strength, but because the king is, watch this, here. He's here. He's on the inside. I remember an old Jamaican man who was singing a nice Christian song many years ago. He says, I feel the Lord stretching out on the inside of me. Oh, Lordy, I feel the Lord stretching out on the inside of me. Your situation is not dead. It's just sleeping. In other words, there is a moment in time where it can be resurrected. But there are some situations that do need to die. Some of us needed to be fired. Some of us needed to be isolated because we took God and the things of God and the people of God for granted. Oh, they'll be there. They'll survive. But what happens when God shuts down the entire world? Oh, this is not a joyous occasion. I'm just looking at the wondrous works of God. Well, if he was so loving and so good, why would he even allow such a thing? All things work together for those that love God and move according to his purpose. All things work together. We don't always have the wisdom and knowledge and understanding how God could take a terrible situation and still get glory out of it. The world is confused. They don't understand how death is not an end, but a beginning. They don't understand that staying at home and hearing the word of God pumping across their screen Sunday after Sunday, week after week, is something that was necessary, because most of the sins happen in private places. So Jesus being ridiculed, I see people who are scorning God even today. It gets on my ever-loving nerves, but I big figure that God had got big enough shoulders that he can handle it. I figured if they still alive, that means he ain't sweating. That's a revelation right there. Somebody may have gotten that, put it in your pocket for later. If they're still alive, obviously he ain't sweating. He's giving them grace and mercy, because such were some of you. You may not have been railing our hands up at God, but our behavior denied him wholeheartedly. Verse 40, repeating. So they ridiculed Jesus. But when they had put them all outside, he took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. And he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was, watch this, 12 years of age. Order. Order in the court. The king is here. The king is here. The judge of all creation, both the living and the dead. The creator of worlds, the one who spoke word into existence, spoke life into existence, spoke the planets into existence, said, let there be light, and then there was power, who clapped his hands, and all of a sudden we have the universe. He's here. He's in the midst of God's people. He says, believe. Believe. Arise. I know you're 12 years old. It's so funny. I was dealing with a woman before I raised you up from the dead. I just want to let you know that there was a woman that occupied my time right before I got here. And I just want to let y'all know that I could really walk and chew gum at the same time. I could take care of you, and I could take care of you. I could take care of you, and I could take care of you. I could take care of your financial situation. I could take care of your mortgage. I could take care of your tax return. Yes, I am a dummy. I'm taking Trump's money. However it comes about, God says, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I got you. You blew through that tax check. You bought stuff you ain't even supposed to buy, but God's giving you another chance to get it right. And then the people were overcome. How could you be smiling so much? I saw a crazy meme the other day that said, it was so funny. It was a meme of Keith Sweat basically saying, how many people are going to be given to their church this Sunday? And it said, nobody. It bothered me, but it made me laugh too. It bothered me because I'm like, how in the world? But then it made me laugh because I read that in Keith Sweat's voice. I believe that people who do not have a heart for the things of God, they ain't going to give whether they're at home or here. But I believe that the remnant is all that we need. How do you think? Hey, newsflash, I'm going to give you a living testimony. We do not have thousands and thousands of people, but we've been around for 10 years. And we're still moving forward to the glory of God because the King is here. The king is here. The king is here. The king is here. He rests here. There may be some ministries that feel like they are going to sleep or dying. But they just sleep for a moment. Divine Truth, we're just sleeping. We're taking a 2-week to 3-week nap. And if we don't make it to Easter, guess what? He is still risen. He's still God. A date does not define him. Matter of fact, many of us don't even know if that was the day. The only thing that we know is that he got up. And as long as he got up, we can keep on going forward. You see, people of God, Jairus was a man of the word, yet was faced with challenges that were insurmountable. The people in his temple could not help. Matter of fact, they were hurting the situation. They were throwing flames on. You thought that the forums that you saw today with all the people just going crazy and going insane and won't even give credit where credit is due. And people try to take 1 mile and try to take care of things. But they say you should go 500 miles. You should just go ahead and put out martial law with your 10 piles of toilet paper in your house. Your bunker. And your 3 months worth of food. You'd be like, just go ahead and lock it down. I'll be okay. But not even considering others. You know who you are with your mountain of toilet paper inside of your closet. How about you give it to your neighbor? Put a mask on if you got to, but how about you give it to your neighbor instead? Those people can't help. Some people are going to complain. Some people are always going to expect the worst scenario, and then when things get better, they are curiously silent.
There's going to be individuals today that are going to be curiously silent in regards to the church. How in the world did the church endure this time and did not collapse? How in the world are we hearing more about Jesus than any other time online? God is so amazing. It's kind of hard for you to say that if you haven't said good morning for several years, but if you keep on saying good morning, you start seeing what God is doing. We were thinking that this social media thing was nothing but the devil with a B. Nothing but the devil. This is just the devil in that thing, man. You up there all on that online, that computer stuff like that, all that streaming the fucking, and then here we are. Stream. God's like, I'm going to get my word out, even by passenger pigeon. I'm going to do what I need to do. Sabbath for everybody. You just stay home and listen to me. Even if you don't want to. Maybe your neighbors turned up their radio so loud, hearing the word of the Lord. Jairus had a situation where his faith was in crisis, but God showed up and was merciful. Granted him a much-needed miracle. He had to wait on the Lord and trust him, even in his darkest hour. Sometimes you may not get a chance to get away from actually being laid off. Sometimes God shows up after the layoff, after the breakup, after the church doors close. But that's even when it's a better situation, because now you know it was nothing but God that resurrected it. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. Sometimes God puts you in a situation where no one can help you out of this. No one is going to be able to approve. All the banks are closed. No one is going to be able to come to your rescue. They can't leave their house. No one is going to be able to cash app you nothing. But God. But God. But God. Let me go ahead and go into my last and final house. House number three. House number three, I call this Matthew's house, Maddie's house, Matt's house, Eminem's house, wherever you want to call it. I call this house a place of discipleship. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 through 13 goes as follows. As Jesus went on from there, after doing miracles, signs, and wonders, and dealing with people in the streets of that region, he saw a man named Matthew. Sitting in the tax collector's booth. There's something about these taxes, man. There's something about these taxes. There's something that's going on right now. These taxes. But he was sitting in the tax collector's booth. In other words, he was one of the collectors. He might even work for Zacchaeus at one point in time. You never know. And he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. There's some people that just drop everything for Jesus. Oh, there's something better than this. All right, I'll see y'all later. Deuces, deuces to the world. Deuces, deuces to the world. Shout out. Deuces to the world. I'm tired of this job anyway. I'm glad they fired me. Everybody in here ever said that they're glad they got fired? I'm glad that you fired me. That means I could collect unemployment. I'm glad you let me go because you were getting on my ever-loving nerves. It was merciful. Sometimes when God allows for things to be removed from your life, it's not always for the bad. Sometimes it's for the good. You wouldn't even have left that job unless you got fired. You didn't even know that you were going to be an entrepreneur. Times like these, where income is being stifled on purpose, sometimes that's going to stir up the gift on the inside of you. You never thought that you could start a business, but now you have to. And it's as good a time as any. So Jesus told this man, come follow me. And he got up. Sometimes God will call you, and then there has to be a response, and then you follow him. But sometimes God, even when he calls you, he gives you the option to turn the other way and let the dead bury the dead. There's many of you that are listening to me and watching me this morning are around a group of people that are not following God. I say to you, my brother, my sister, come follow Jesus. He is the navigator of your souls. Come follow Jesus. Verse 10. Then it happened as Jesus was reclining at the table. He was sitting back.
in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. That lets me know that Matthew was well known, sitting in the tax collector's booth. That means he was a person of authority. I am praying for a day where many of our leaders that are in authority will follow Jesus, because you never know how many people will follow because of him. Never know how many people will follow him. So he was sitting there with many tax collectors and sinners. They were dining with Jesus and his disciples. Notice this. They were dining with Jesus and his disciples. They didn't call the tax collectors and sinners disciples. So Jesus sat with them and he dealt with them, but he wasn't one of them. There was a distinguishing element. It was Jesus, who was perfect, his imperfect disciples, and then the sinners. But all of them were there at the table listening to Jesus. When the Pharisees saw this, the religious folk, those that look down their ecclesiastical noses like they're peacocks in God's zoo, when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners? Why are you talking to people who are dope boys? Why are you talking to people that drink themselves into a drunken stupor? Why do you serve people from the community to come in here smelling like weed?" True story. Because we once smelled like weed. Because we were once not disciples, but the actual sinners that sat at this table of Jesus, just waiting to hear something that would change our condition. "Preacher, you got something good for me? Tell me about it. Since I'm home, let me see what this man got to say. I'm sorry, I can't entertain you. I just want to tell you the truth." And the truth is that Jesus, oh precious Jesus, is the one that you need in your life. I love verse 12 as I close here. It says, "But Jesus heard this and he said, 'It is not those who are healthy who need a physician. It is those who are sick.'" Jesus and his disciples, picture this, Jesus represents the great physician. Disciples represent the physician's assistants. The sinners and the tax collectors, those that needed help, were those that were on the operating table. They needed them, and they made them feel welcome. Isn't it wonderful for those of you that have surgery that you come in contact with a compassionate doctor? You know he's going to open you up, bring pain, but he is there to heal you. Let me tell you the truth while we're reclining at this table with compassion and love. There's a condition that you have that needs to be changed, or else it's going to take over your life and it's going to take you out. You need to change this. But here's the good news. I'm going to take my hand and I'm going to walk it out with you. I'm going to stay by your side through the season of affliction until you become whole, whether in this life or the next. Verse 13, notice how Jesus rebukes the Pharisees, the religious folk, the church folk that just don't get it. He says to them, "But go and learn what this means." Number one, first of all, before I even go into the latter part of the verse, he said to them, you know what? These people right here, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. That's a little insight into how to even handle this whole COVID virus thing. It's not the healthy that need the physician, it is the sick. And that is probably going to be just the way it's going to go. Let's address those that have been afflicted and give our resources to them. And let's just support those that are doing the work. Lord have mercy. It may spread, but let's support those that are serving the sick. Support them and let them do their jobs. So Jesus was talking about these people who are sick in sin. But he knew that they needed him. And so anytime somebody comes up and be like, "Well, y'all are open. Let me go ahead and count and see how many folk up off in there so I can just go ahead and call the popos." Who you gonna call? They ain't coming out here. They won't catch nothing. Sometimes things are passed just to placate people's nerves, only to find out their nerves were frayed the entire time. So he says to the Pharisees, the religious folk, but go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. That was a very ubiquitous term because he said, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. Because see here, watch this. The Pharisees were used to giving a sin offering, a physical type of sacrifice, some type of works in order to appease God. But God was like, no, I want compassion. Because it is a compassionate heart of a sinner that even want to talk to Jesus in the first place. They are ready to receive like little babies. Beep, 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 beep. My wife and I, we have this nice little red tree that's in our backyard that cardinals love to come and nest in. One cardinal kept us up for 1 year because it kept on banging on the window. And I was like, why in the world is this cardinal making all this noise? It reminded me of the blood of Jesus Christ is knocking at our window. But at this particular moment, I was like, you ain't let me get no sleep. Won't let me rest. But come to find out, when I look inside of the tree, there was this nice little small little nest in there with little birds trying to eat. They were desperate, waiting to be fed. Their hearts were a position ready to receive. So Jesus was like, I don't want a sacrifice. I want to show compassion to those that are in need. Matthew went from being despised as a result to being a disciple. You see that? He was once one of the sinners, and he was also sitting at the table, but he wasn't a disciple yet, but he ended up being one of the apostles. All because Jesus invited him to a comfortable table. The reclining means just relax. Not here to judge you, relax. And let me tell you the truth of the scriptures. And if the shoe fits, let's walk it out together. I'm not going to hit you with it. So as I conclude, come on, Al. To make your house a home, the way that you could do it at this very hour is to worship. Like Obed-Edom's house in the Old Testament. That was one of the very first unique times to where the Ark of the Covenant, as you may see here in the sanctuary today, was dropped off at his house because it was once stolen. David and the boys, they lost it. But it ended up at Obed-Edom's house. And as a result of that artifact, which represents, watch this, as I said earlier, the order of God. Order, order, order in the court. The ark represents the order of God. When that order of God came into Obed-Edom's house, he was blessed beyond measure. You're going to offer me a job in the middle of the COVID? You want me to do an interview? How? Oh, online. So a lot of people being trained to get jobs of the future. I want you to see this thing. You got to see it. So while you're waiting, while you're sitting at the house, while you're peeking outside like Mildred trying to see who's walking and breaking the stay-at-home order, close those blinds with your nosy self. Get into the word and do the following. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, and then I'm done. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. In other words, shut up and mind your business. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. While you're at home, you can grow in the things of God. Verse 3, and if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, in verse 6, and I close, therefore it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, talking about Jesus, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.
Sometimes the only thing that you can do at this very hour is believe God. To be transparent, I have to do the same thing. My wife was impressing that upon me. Because even with all the things that I got going on, and I know what God has created me to be, and I know the top knowledge, skills, and abilities and talents that I have, even with all the things that God has blessed me with, every now and then, I feel some time or feel some kind of way. I'm human. And my wife would not let me get into no pity party. She was like, "You ready to go to bed? You want to watch Black Panther?" And I think she turned up the TV. I don't think she did this on purpose, but I think she turned up the TV when it came to this one part that she knows that I like. "Martha! Who? Martha! Who?" In other words, they're getting ready for challenge day. It's challenge day. Me, Mbaku, I've heard all of your noise from the mountains of what you folk are doing down here. But we will not have it. We will not have it, oh. We ain't having it. We got to have faith. We got to move according to the things of God. Come on, stand to your feet if you're at the house. Don't leave the oven now, because I don't want you to blame Pastor Martin for burning food. But turn and stand to your feet and remember the following while you're at home with Jesus. Pray. Number one, praise God, whether things work out or even if they don't. Play worship music and make your house a holy sanctuary. Read the word. Teach the word to your children, to your spouses. And finally, believe the word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We love you deeply. We thank you. I ask, Lord God, that you put a hedge of protection around these, your people. Not only my church family, but also the household of faith, the church of Jesus Christ. Lord God, teach us to be wise at this very hour, but also to exhibit our faith at this very hour. For none of these diseases will come near us. But if it be in your will, help us to endure. And if we have to leave this world, let us be in your ever-loving arms in heaven. Thank you, Lord God, for covering all bases with us. Thank you, Lord God, for touching every individual under the sound of my voice, both near and far. We bless your holy name and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. God keep you. This concludes our service streaming live. Go ahead and put your hands together. My tiger team. My tiger team, God bless you, God keep you. This is only but for a moment. It's a transformational moment. So let me encourage you. Let me speak life into you that everything is going to be all right, even though it may be dark outside. Be blessed, people of God. I love you. See you soon.